In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
O God, who have made this most sacred night radiant with the splendor of the true light, grant, we pray, that we, who have known the mysteries of his light on earth, may also delight in his gladness in heaven, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but anyone who grew up with the Peanuts watching their Christmas special every year, it's hard to hear the words of this gospel without thinking of Linus, right? I mean, he did it so well, so movingly. It's great that even through the culture, the things of the culture, there can be these sacred moments that with the living Word of God, even through the mouth of a cartoon character, can stay with you and continue to speak life from Christ. Isn't that incredible? So for today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you who is Christ and Lord. That very phrase summarizes the three main features of Christ: his mission as Savior, his royalty as Christ, and his authority as Lord. And so, like the bumper sticker says, Jesus is indeed the reason for the season. And so, as we glory in the Lord, we are moved by the Holy Spirit to sing glory to God in the highest. Gloria in excelsis Deo. You know what hymn that's from. Although we're not singing those words tonight, those words that are joyfully repeated in that Christmas hymn, "Angels We Have Heard on High," we would do well always to reflect on the words of that hymn. "Angels We Have Heard on High, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. All of creation singing, praising God. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? What the gladsome tidings be which inspire your heavenly song? Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore, on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Glory to God in the highest. Is that the song in our hearts today, or what? Glory to God in the highest. For this incredible moment in the history of creation that changes everything. I'd like to share with you from a sermon by St. Augustine, preached about, 1700 years ago, because I didn't have time to make a homily this week. That was a joke. Are you guys awake? Okay, just checking. So, from the sermon of St. Augustine, reflecting on these words of the scriptures, calling us to glory, calling us to glorify God, that whatever way in which we glory, we ought to glory in the Lord, first and foremost. So he says, awake, mankind, wake up. For your sake, God has become man. Awake, you who sleep, rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake, God became man. You would have suffered eternal death had he not been born in time. Never would you have been freed from sinful flesh had he not taken on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. You would have suffered the everlasting unhappiness had it not been for his mercy. You would never have returned to life had he not shared your death. You would have been lost if he had not hastened to your aid. You would have perished had he not come this day. Let us then joyfully celebrate the coming of our salvation and redemption. Let us celebrate the festive day on which he is the great and eternal day, came from the great and endless day of eternity into our own short day of time. He has become our justice, our sanctification, our redemption, so that, as it is written, let him who glories, glory in the Lord. Truth, then, has arisen from the earth. Christ, who said, I am the truth, was born of a virgin, and justice looked down from heaven, because believing in this newborn child, man is justified not by himself, but by God. Truth has arisen from the earth, because the Word was made flesh this day, and justice looked down from heaven, because every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Truth has arisen from the earth, flesh from Mary. And justice looked down from heaven, for man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven. Justified by faith, then, let us be at peace with God, for justice and peace have embraced one another in him. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, for truth has arisen from the earth. Through him we have access to that grace in which we stand, and our boast is in our hope of God's glory. He does not say of our glory, but of God's glory. For justice has not proceeded from us, but has looked down from heaven. Therefore, he who glories, let him glory not in himself, but in the Lord. For this reason, when our Lord was born of the Virgin, the message of the angelic voices was glory to God in the highest and peace to his people on earth. For how could there be peace on earth unless truth has arisen from the earth? That is, unless Christ were born of our flesh. And he is our peace, who made the two into one, that we might be men of goodwill, sweetly linked by the bond of unity. Let us then rejoice in this grace, so that our glorying may bear witness to our good conscience, by which we glory, not in ourselves, again I say, but in the Lord. That is why Scripture says, he is my glory, the one who lifts up my head. For what greater grace could God have made to dawn on us than to make his only Son become the Son of Man, so that a Son of Man might in his turn become the Son of God? Ask if this were merited. Ask for its reason, for its justification, and see whether you will find any other answer but sheer grace. This is why we are here tonight. This is why we celebrate this sacred moment, this moment that reshapes everything from the very core of our beings, the depths of our souls, outward and into the world. The light of God shining in the darkness. The Gloria that we sing was first sung by the angels, the first Christmas hymn on earth. Think about that. The very first Christmas hymn ever sung was sung by the angels, who had been singing that hymn for eternity in heaven. And suddenly now they come at the moment of his birth and teach us the song of glory. The ancient and venerable hymn in which the church assembled in the Holy Spirit praises God, the Father, and the Lamb. Every note, every word rises from the hearts of you and I, the sons and daughters of God, in thanksgiving this night for the mystery of the incarnation that makes possible our salvation. Pope Benedict XVI, during his homily at Christmas Midnight Mass in 2010, said, "The church in the Gloria has extended this song of praise, which the angels sang in response to the event of the holy night, into a hymn of joy at God's glory. We praise you for your glory. In the Gloria that we say at the beginning of almost every Mass, every Sunday of every year, in the Gloria we praise the love and goodness of God, who doesn't hesitate to send his only Son as our Savior and Redeemer in the mystery of the Incarnation. God's love and goodness made visible for us, tangible, in the birth of Christ." So think about that, these words of St. Augustine, the song of the angels, the living word proclaimed here tonight. And think back to the beginning of Mass. Whether we pray it, whether we sing it, whether we chant it, whether we say it, these are words of profound thanks. They're not just words that fall off our lips. They are reminders of us of this Christmas moment, for us to meditate and to proclaim the incredible mystery in the Incarnation and all that that leads to, the grand opening for the outpouring of the grace of God in and through us. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to people of goodwill. We praise you. We bless you. We adore you. We glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father. We should taste these words as they come from our lips or are ruminated on in our hearts as our very own offering of thanksgiving to God. Why am I here, Lord? Because of your great glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father. What is at the heart of what the Lord does for each and every one of us, as often as we beat a path of repentance to Him? Lord, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on me. You take away the sins of the world. Receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. And all the people said, amen. Say it again. Amen. Say it like you mean it.